Tonight's passage is Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. That can be found on page 1175 of the Church Bibles. So that's Ephesians 2, first 10 verses. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Thanks, Andrew. And please do keep that passage open, Ephesians chapter 2 on page 1175. That will be a help to us. Let's pray as we start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that we are able to sing these words that we've sung together. And as we think about your grace to us again this evening, please would it come fresh to us? For those of us who this is the first time hearing about it, please would you open our eyes to what you have to say in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, these verses that we're looking at tonight, we're going to focus just on verses 8 and 9 this evening of Ephesians chapter 2. They're some of the most familiar verses in the Bible, I think. If you're someone who's been a Christian for a long time, or you've been coming to church for a long time, they probably something you recognize, something you've heard before. Well, the good news and the bad news is I haven't got anything especially new to say tonight, but that's a good thing, isn't it? Because we need to know these truths again. These are truths that are essential for us as Christians. They're the very heart of what we believe, that by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And if you are someone for whom these ideas are new, I hope and pray this evening that your eyes will be opened to the amazing kindness of God, that he would lavish such grace on people, on human beings, to make a people of his own. So, by grace you have been saved. It's there in our passage at the start of verse 8, and it was actually mentioned in last week's passage as well, if you were here last week. We've been going through Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and the last 2 weeks we've been thinking about what we have been saved from. So, if we look back, 2, 1 to 3, we see that we were dead in the trespasses and sins. That's what we were thinking about 2 weeks ago. We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. It may not look like it, but everyone who is without Jesus, who is not following him, who hasn't had their sins forgiven by him, is dead, spiritually dead. We saw three things, didn't we? We followed the way of the world, following the course of the world, verse 2. We followed the way of the devil, following the prince of the power of the air. And we were putting first the passions of our flesh, the desires of body and mind. We did what we wanted to do. And that meant that we were by nature children of wrath, verse 3, like the rest of mankind. But we saw last week that we weren't doomed. That those who God has opened their eyes, they are no longer children of wrath like the rest of mankind. They're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. They have been made alive in Christ. Verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's that little phrase we'll be thinking more about today. And raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. More than the fact that we were made alive, we found amazingly that we've been raised up and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why did he do this? Well, we're given one reason in verse 7, aren't we? So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So what have we been saved from? We've been saved from death, the death that we deserve because of our trespasses and our sins. And we've been made alive in Christ and seated in the heavenly places. But today we go a bit further. We're thinking, on what basis have we been saved? By what means? How is it that we've been saved? How has this come to happen? Is it because who we are? Is it because of things we've done? Well, no, it's not. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited or undeserved favor. There's sort of a picture that we could have in our minds as of a king giving one of their subjects something they don't deserve, a very generous gift. That's the sort of picture we should have in our minds, but a little more than that, isn't it, of course, that it's something they don't deserve. And in fact, we deserve the opposite. Yeah? We were by nature children of wrath. We deserved death. We deserved punishment. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Grace is God's unmerited or undeserved favor. In chapter 1, we're told it's his glorious grace in verse 6. In the passage we looked at last week, chapter 2, verse 7, it's described as the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness. God is so kind to us. He's so full of grace. He's so generous. A bit later in verse 8, it says that it is the gift of God. A gift is something that's given freely, isn't it? It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we pay for. It's something given freely, generously, lavishly is the word we keep coming back to in this book. Now, to ram home the point a bit further so that we remember it, Paul mentions two more things about this grace. Not only that positively that it is the gift of God, but he points out two things that it's not. It's two things, two ways by which we are not saved. Firstly, it is not your own doing. Verse 8. It is not your own doing. It's not by our own doing that we are saved. There's nothing in and of ourselves that means we should be saved. Of course, we've seen that. We're by nature children of wrath. There's nothing in and of ourselves. So there's no point comparing ourselves to others and thinking, well, they deserve to be saved and I don't, or I deserve to be saved and they don't. There's no point thinking, I'm not who I feel I should be, therefore I can't be saved. No, of course we're not who we should be, because we are by nature children of wrath, but God has made us alive when we believe in Jesus. It is not our own doing, and so it's not of ourselves, and nothing in or of ourselves, so it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on who we are. And more than that, verse 9, it doesn't depend on what we do. It is not a result of works. So it doesn't depend on who we are, but it doesn't depend on what we do. It doesn't depend on what we've done in the past, or what doesn't depend on what we do now. There is nothing I can do to save myself. It is God's grace. It is his free gift. It is his undeserved kindness towards me. And so when I feel that I haven't done what I should do, well, again, that's not surprising. But it doesn't change the fact I've been saved by grace. Now, there's a word we've left out so far. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, it might be that we start to think in our head, well, God's bit is that he provides the grace. Yeah, he provides the grace. And then my bit is that I believe in Jesus. And that's sort of what I bring. Well, we do need to believe in Jesus. If we look back to 1 verse 13, it says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is another way of saying we became Christians when we received the Holy Spirit. So we do need to hear the word, and we do need to believe in Jesus, of course. We've got to take grasp of this ourselves. We've got to believe it for ourselves. We've got to put our trust in the Lord Jesus and in the kindness of God, in his immeasurable riches of his grace, in his gift. But it is not a work. Do you see how Paul goes on to describe it? He says about all of that salvation, by grace you have been saved through faith, this is not your own doing. All of that idea. Now, the grammar, I've been looking at this week in the Greek. I don't read New Testament Greek, but I've been reading some commentaries from people who do. And explained, it's not quite what I thought. I'd always thought that this applied just to the faith. That the faith is not your own doing, even faith is a gift from God. Well, I think that is true. I don't think that's quite what Paul is saying here, though. I think he's saying the whole thing is not your own doing. The whole thing, being saved by grace through faith. And that's obvious, isn't it? If we think back, we were dead. What can dead people do? They can't make themselves alive. It's got to be God that does it. Here's the one that has got to make us alive. Here's the one that has got to save us. He did that by sending his son. Just look back across to chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We have redemption through Jesus' blood. So when he died and rose again, we could be raised with him. We have forgiveness of our sins. They're dealt with. They're done. They're over. So, by grace, You have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. So, well, there are a few places we might go there. But the place that Paul goes is so that no one may boast. If we contributed anything to being saved, then we would have a right to boast, wouldn't we? We'd have a right to feel good about ourselves. We'd have a right to feel, yes, I've done it. I'm upright. I'm right with God. I've done this. I've been made alive with Christ. But no. Paul has made the point again and again, doesn't it? It's not with what we've done. It's not our own doing. It's not a result of works, rather. And it's not something in and of ourselves. It's not our own doing. It's the gift of God. It's God's kindness. So where does that leave boasting? It means we can't boast about anything, can it? Again, it means we can't compare ourselves to one another and think, they're better than me, or I'm better than them. It's very tempting, isn't it? One of the things about standing up here and doing the sermon is you start to reflect on these things a bit more deeply, and some of them hit home a bit more deeply. And I think that's one of the things that I've struggled with a bit this week. One of the things I've struggled with is, am I good enough to be up here? Well, that's ironic, isn't it? Of course I'm not. I've been saved by grace through faith. And are there other people who could do a better job up here than me? Well, probably. Does that matter? Well, no one may boast. There is nothing to boast about, but there's lots to be thankful about, isn't there? We're thankful that by grace we have been saved. Thankful that we don't have to strive to be saved. Thankful that our salvation is secure. One of the commentaries I read made a really helpful point that although most of our translations translate it, for by grace you have been saved, and that's a perfectly good translation of verse 8, that actually it also has the sense of being for by grace you are saved. It has an ongoing sense as well. There's security here. We don't need to worry. We can be confident. Well, what if you don't think these things are true of you yet? I wonder whether you've thought through the rest of Ephesians chapter 2. We're thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? Whether you recognize the fact that you are a child of wrath if you are not in Jesus. Now, that's a difficult description, one that we might find very offensive. But it's what it says here, isn't it? That we follow by nature the ways of the world, we follow the ways of the devil, we do what we want to do. That may look very respectable. The image that Tom shared with us a couple of weeks ago, and I've heard other people share as well, is image of cut flowers. They look good for a few days, but in reality, they're dead. But there is this wonderful offer that we can receive just by believing in Jesus. An offer of grace, immeasurable. Vast and free. Grace unmeasured, vast as free, as we'll be singing as we finish our time later, a little later on. That we can be raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. That offer is free for all of us. So if that's something you haven't received, then please do that. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's a lot more we could say. We have seen last week how God wants to show in the coming ages the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We could go on and look at how God, later in chapter 2, how Paul explains how God has brought together Gentiles and Jews. Those who had the law, the Jews, God's chosen people, and those who didn't. And he has separated the wall of hostility as he reconciled all people to himself. We could think about that and how he is building a whole structure. He's building a people for, as a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We could think about verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not how we're saved, but what God has created us for, made us alive for. Well, we're not going to look at that now, because we're going to look at that next week. There's much more we could say. But for this evening, let's take away what we've heard. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We've got some time now to think that through. We're going to turn in groups where we are, into groups of about six, I suggest. And on the sheets, I hope you've got sight of a sheet, or someone in your group's got sight of a sheet, then there's some discussion questions. You've got 15, 16, let's say 16 minutes, be precise, to talk that through and pray. I'll give you a little nod when there's about 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes left, so you've got some time to pray. Over to you to discuss.